We want to thank you. It is so good to have you join with us at the same time each week, and we do count it our privilege to be able to join with you and come into your homes and have you follow along in our Bible study. We're going to get right on over into our Bible study now as we continue in this wonderful book of Romans. Remember, the book of Romans is a doctrinal book, and it teaches the doctrinal lessons that each one of us need to know. And it separates the Christian living from our position in heaven to our walk here upon the earth. And as we go over here now, we want you to go over with us here to Romans chapter 4. Now, we're going to go here to the end of the chapter here because we're going to center in on justification and then showing justification in man's eyes, justification in God's eyes. Justification in God's eyes is salvation. He never has to see any good works you have, but he knows your mind, and he knows if your faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. But then, if we're going to have a testimony, the book of James tells us that if a man say that he hath faith and hath not works, his faith is dead. It's going to fall on dead ears. Nobody's going to listen to you. And therefore, if you want to be justified in man's eyes that you're a Christian, then you're going to have the works that God wants a Christian to have in order to show a lost person that you are for real. Now, Romans, we find here, as we go here to the 23rd verse here, or in verse 22, and we'll pick it up here. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness, that is, to Abraham, because he believed God. Now, it was written not for his sake alone, not for Abraham's sake alone, that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Now notice in verse 25, and therefore in chapter 5, verse 1. Verse 25 says, who was delivered for our offenses, that's Christ, and he was raised again for our justification. Now it needs to be brought out that the word justification is a legal term, and it means declared absolutely righteous. Now when it comes to our position, there are two kinds of justification. One is a positional justification, and that is salvation. There is another justification, which is our practical justification, and that is in the eyes of men, if we want to have a testimony. Now, notice here in chapter 5 and verse 1, because we have a positional justification here. It says, therefore, being justified, that is declared absolutely righteous, by faith. It doesn't say faith in baptism. It doesn't say faith in communion. It doesn't say faith in confirmation. It doesn't say faith in church membership. But faith alone, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is positional justification, and it never changes. Now, to bring this out, let's go clear back here because we have a so-called contradiction that has been presented by many and has confused a lot of Christians because they didn't have an answer to it. But if we go back here again now to the first part here of Romans chapter 4 concerning Abraham, notice what it says here in verse 3. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. He was justified positionally now. Now, we come on back to James, and we have a contradiction. Now, so-called, there is no contradiction in the Word of God, but we want to bring this out here because even Martin Luther said the book of James, he called it the epistle of straw. He didn't put much credibility in it because he did not have the answer to the book of James as reconciled to the book of Romans. Now, we come back here. I'd like for you to notice here, if you will, and let's go here in verse 17. Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say that thou hast faith, I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Now notice when we come on down how important this is that the Holy Spirit chose this time in Abraham's life. Now notice here in verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Now, we find that account given in Genesis chapter 22. But you find out from Romans chapter 4 and verse 3, Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. We find out that took place in the 15th chapter of the book of Romans. It was years and years later now that Abraham in the 22nd chapter offered up his son. We find out here, when you study this, that Abraham was saved in the 15th chapter. He was justified in God's eyes for his faith plus nothing. That is his positional justification. Faith doesn't have to have works. But then after Abraham was saved, if he wants to be justified in other people's eyes as saying, yes, I have faith in God, yes, I have faith in God, then he's going to have to prove his faith by his works. So when we come over to the 22nd chapter here of the book of Genesis, we find out that he was told of God now to see if he had faith in God to go ahead and show in front of others that he really did believe in God. Now, in the 22nd chapter, you'll find out that he took two men up there with him. Now, when you say you're a Christian, you can rest assured there is somebody watching your life to see if you're going to live what you claim that you believe. And there's always somebody going to watch you. Now, notice in verse 3 of the 22nd chapter, "And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clay for the wood." But he took two young men. In verse 5, "Abraham said unto his young men," now they're going to watch and see if Abraham, who claimed that he had faith in God, if he was going to do what God asked him to do. And this is exactly the book of James. If we say that we have faith and have not works, our faith is dead. Nobody's going to believe us. Nobody is going to believe you're a Christian if you do not act like a Christian. Now, to be saved, you do not have to have good works. We're saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves. It is a gift to God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God does not have to see anything other than your mind and your heart, knowing that your faith is in the death, burial, and resurrection of his Son. So Romans is justification in God's sight. That's our position in the Lord, and it never changes, because that depends on God's faithfulness. But then James comes along and says, if I don't see works, then I'm not going to believe. It's going to fall on dead ears. Don't talk to me about Christianity if you're living like the devil. James is justification in man's eyes. We must have the works and the love and the consideration, the patience, the kindness, and the testimony to back up what we say, or we're not going to lead anybody to Jesus Christ. You know, we've had people say, well, can I drink a bottle of beer and be a Christian? Yes, you can drink a bottle of beer and be a Christian, but you're not going to lead anybody else to be a Christian because they do not associate that with Christianity. You see, they just think you're a hypocrite. That's what it is. Now, can you be saved and drink a bottle of beer? Yes, you can be saved. Your faith can be in Jesus Christ, and you're on your way to heaven. You have a home in heaven, but that's justification as far as our position. Yes, you're saved, but are other people going to believe you're saved if you're living a life that is contrary to the Christian life and the way God wants you to do? No, they're not going to believe you. We find out in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1, it says, "Wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging, and whoever's deceived thereby be not wise." So no, God doesn't want you to drink anything that's alcoholic, absolutely none. And I remember one time I was a fellow up in northern Minnesota years and years ago when we first got out of Bible college. We pastored up there, and he was led to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he just never really disciplined his life. Finally, after a few years, he finally took a bartender job down in Grand Rapids, Minnesota, and he was trying to witness down there, and they just laughed at him. It wasn't long after he died of a heart attack and went on to be with the Lord. Was he justified positionally? Did he have a home in heaven? Yes, he sure did. He did believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He had trusted Christ as a Savior, but he never disciplined himself. And nobody would believe he was a Christian because his works did not back up what he claimed to be and his faith in Christ. They just did not believe him. They just laughed at him behind his back. And sad to say, he just wasted his life, you see. But Romans is justification in God's sight. You need no works whatsoever to go to heaven. But justification in man's sight is the book of James, and we must have a changed life and a Christian life and a life filled with the things that the Lord wants us to do if other people are going to be influenced by the way we live and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Now, I'd like to go on over here because we want to get this here. I'd like to take you, and I just want to show you one other thing where we have the two justifications here. We come over here to the Great Commission, and there's a couple of things. We want to bring this down about baptism, because this has been many, many times so confusing to people. We come over to the Great Commission after the Lord Jesus had resurrected from the dead, walked on this earth, and so forth. And then we come to Matthew chapter 28. And then we're going on over to the book of Mark also, which gives it. And we find out in Matthew chapter 28, we find the commission here before the Lord Jesus ascended back to heaven. And notice here in verse 18, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." Now, I want to point out something here, because it's a very important doctrinal lesson here. When he says, go therefore and teach. Now, the word teach here is matheteos in the Greek, and it is a different word than it is found down here in verse 20. In verse 1, teaching them to observe. That's an entirely different Greek word. Now, the Greek word that's used up here is not a good translation of the word teach. It literally means in the Greek, matheteos, and it means, go ye therefore and make disciples. Lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ first, and then baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now, when you make disciples out of them, that, therefore, that's their positional justification. In other words, you can't be a disciple of Christ unless you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what the whole book of Matthew is about. Accept him as your Savior, as your Yeshua HaMashiach, as your Messiah. Trust Christ as your Messiah. Then, notice, therefore go therefore, and make disciples. Lead them to Christ first. Of all nations, go into everywhere that you can go, and lead whoever you can to Jesus Christ. Notice, baptizing them is after you have made disciples out of them. After you have led them to the Lord Jesus Christ, then you are to baptize them in the name of the Father. Then when we come on down, we find out that is, make disciples, that is your justification, your position in Christ. You're a child of God forever. Now, what you do with your life then, after you're baptized, we find out, that is a public testimony that you're not ashamed of Christ. And then, in verse 20, teaching them to observe all things. In other words, listen to the Word of God and live the way that Jesus Christ wants you to live so you'll be a testimony. That is our position in the eyes of men. Now go with me to Mark, because this brings this out, and this has always been a very confusing verse to a lot of people. But when you compare Scripture with Scripture, it becomes very easy to understand. You must remember, there is a positional justification. That is, when you're saved, your position, God looks upon you as though you're already in heaven. It's already done. Your practical justification is your practical living down here, so that when you tell people about Jesus Christ, you have a life to back it up, and they can see the way you live and associate that you are a true believer in Jesus Christ. Then they'll listen to you. Well, we come to Mark chapter 16 here. I'd like for you to notice here, because we have the same thing here in Mark chapter 16, and notice over here in verse 15. It says here, "And he said unto them, Go ye therefore into all of the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Now, before he said anything else about baptism or anything else, he said, preach the gospel. That is the death, the burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The reason is, baptism does not save you. But yet we come on down to verse 16, and this is a very interesting verse that many have taken this and just yanked it to pieces, and take one little piece out of it to try to justify that your baptism has some saving power in it, when it has absolutely none. But notice what it says. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Be saved in whose eyes? Well, in man's eyes, because your water baptism is your public profession of what you believed by faith and accepted Jesus Christ, that he loved you, he died for you, he was buried and rose again the third day. And your baptism, that is your, when I say, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, the gospel, that's what you believe, that is your positional justification. But then when you're baptized, then you are saved. Does that, and is that referring to saved from hell? No, it isn't referring to that at all. That is your practical justification. You're saved from what? You're saved as far as being justified in man's eyes because they now have witnessed your baptism. They have seen you go under the water. They have heard the preacher say, so-and-so here is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. They have trusted Christ as their Savior. Now they are following in believer's baptism. This is justification in man's eyes, because all of those sitting out there or wherever you're baptized at, looking at you now and watching you go under the water, symbolically showing that by faith, you have your faith in the death of Jesus Christ. Under the water shows death. When you come up out of the water, it shows resurrection. So in their eyes, they're looking at you coming up out of the water, knowing that you are symbolically showing by the act of baptism what you have believed to save you and take you to heaven and justify you positionally in God's eyes by faith alone. Now you're baptized, and whosoever believeth and is baptized shall be saved in whose eyes? You don't have to be baptized to be saved to go to heaven, but saved in whose eyes? The people watching you now know that you are doing what Christ wants you to do, and you are showing as a testimony in your Christian life now what the Lord wants you to do, and they will believe that you are truly saved by seeing the way that you live that will back up the testimony that you claim. Now, in order to set the record straight, let's read the last line, which I've heard so many, I want to scream sometime, read the rest of the verse, read the rest of the verse. Now notice what it says here. But, and then we find out Mark makes it perfectly clear. But he that believeth not shall be damned. He does not say he that believeth not and is not baptized shall be damned. Either you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you're saved, that's positionally, or you deny the Lord Jesus Christ and you're going to be damned. Now, if you believe and you're baptized, you shall be saved, not positionally now, because you're already saved, but and saved in whose eyes, just like James. If a man say, I have faith and have not works, his faith is dead. And so, if I don't have the life to back it up, I remember one time in my Christian life that I witnessed to a person, they said, well, if you're a Christian, I don't ever want to be one. Well, they were right, because I wasn't leading the Christian life. That was a very embarrassing situation, but it really showed me something. They didn't want to hear what I had to say because my life didn't back it up, and we have a lot of Christians that way today. That, you know, they want to talk about being saved by grace through faith, but they're not disciplined, they don't go to church, they don't do this, they don't do that, they don't read their Bible, they got a bad attitude, they're always wanting to pick a fight about something, always wanting to argue about something, they don't have any patience or anything, and so forth. None of these things are going to be characteristic of a Christian life, you see. So people, when they look at you and you claim to be a Christian, then they want to see some fruit. They want to know that. Now, whenever we find the word saved, like for example here, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Remember this now. This is your practical justification. Saved in whose eyes? In man's eyes, the same as James, which is justification in man's eyes. Now, you say, what about every time we see the word saved? Well, you have to take it in context. If you go back to the book of Acts, this is very interesting here. Wherever you find the word saved, you have to take it in context. We go back, for example, let me give you an illustration of this. We go back to Acts chapter 27. We come here to chapter 27, and we begin to read the whole chapter, and we find out that Paul was on the ship here. They had ran into a terrible storm. They went as close to shore as they possibly could, threw down the anchors, and were afraid to go any further because of breaking the ship up on the rocks closer to shore. So what they did, they were going to let down a lifeboat and hop in the lifeboat and go ahead and try to make it to shore. But Paul said here, and if we notice in verse 31, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, he said, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Well, he's not talking about salvation. He's talking about abiding in the ship or you're not going to be saved. You've got to take it in the context that it is. And another thing that we find out when we come over here to Mark, for example. If you have to be baptized and believe both in order to be saved, now we're talking about positionally to go to heaven now, then you're going to find out that everywhere in the Bible would be wrong if that were true. Because we come, for example, then how in the world do you explain John chapter 3, verse 16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life? And you say anything about baptism? Believing is justification in God's eyes or your position in Christ. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, we had read that at the earlier part of the broadcast. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. He didn't say faith and baptism. This is justification in God's eyes for eternal salvation. When Mark said that whosoever believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he's not talking about salvation to go to heaven, saved in whose eyes? Exactly what James says. If a man say that he have faith and hath not works, his faith is dead. In whose eyes? In man's eyes. God wants us to be baptized as a testimony to the lost that I really believe in Jesus Christ, and I'm going to follow him in believer's baptism. Romans chapter 4, concerning Abraham. Abraham just simply believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. That's his justification or his position in heaven. Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6 is a quote from that. That's where it's quoted from. Years and years later, in Genesis chapter 22, then he uses Abraham. James is specific to use the time in Abraham's life. Was he not justified when he offered up Isaac, his son? Justified in what? In man's eyes. Because somebody's always watching you if you say you're a Christian. See, Abraham was already justified years and years later in Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 22, years later, when God put him to the test, the men were going to see if Abraham was for real or not. Was he going to really, really do what God said to do and kill his own son? And therefore, not knowing that God had a sacrifice on the other side of the mountain over there, you see? But every other verse it would be contradictory to. And yet if you do not take it in the context and understand there's a justification positionally, and God looks upon your faith in Jesus Christ, and it is faith for eternal life. Now notice again in verse 15, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Doesn't say believe and be baptized, does he? So unless you have the proper interpretation by comparing Scripture with Scripture, you have hung yourself in a corner. And you have a contradiction in the Word of God, which there is none. You have just taken a verse out of context, not applying it to the way God applies it. And remember this, whosoever believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and Mark qualifies it. But whosoever believeth not shall be condemned. Believeth not. He did not say believeth not and not be baptized. It's amazing to me how churches take that verse and try to say you've got to be baptized along with believing to go to heaven. It's not even talking about going to heaven. It's talking about being justified in man's eyes and seeing your works after you're saved to justify your faith in Christ when you witness to them, you see. We come on down, for example, in verse 36 of John chapter 3. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Now, either John lied about that and goes on to say, he that believeth not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. Either he lied because he never said anything about baptism. Either Jesus Christ lied to the thief upon the cross in Luke chapter 23 and verse 43, when the thief said to him, Lord, will you remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom? And the Lord said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And he was. Now, the thief on the cross wasn't baptized, because if it had been a requirement to go to heaven, the Lord would have had to said, all right, get down off there and get baptized and get back up here. No, that's not it at all. You'll find out also, if you go to Acts chapter 13 and verse 38 and 39, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. He did not say, believe and be baptized. He didn't say that at all. So if you've got a verse that has baptism, you've got to realize this is justification in man's eyes. People, lost people, living in sin, dead in trespasses and sins, wants to see, if you claim to be a Christian, something different in your life. We come on over here, if you will, and let's go here to John chapter, let's see here, chapter 5 here in verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Didn't say anything about baptism. Never mentioned it at all. And the same salvation in the Old Testament by faith in Christ is the same that we have by faith in Christ here. The Old Testament, they were looking to the cross for Christ to come. We look back 2,000 years, and our faith is in the fact he has already come. No one in the Old Testament was ever baptized. Never. They never even had it. And we have taken so many things, a work that you do, and baptism is a work. I read one pamphlet that says, well, baptism is not something you do, it's something God does. Well, if it's something God does, why doesn't he come down, take on the body, and be baptized himself? Jesus Christ was baptized as a testimony. He was sinless. He wasn't baptized for sins. He wasn't baptized to wash away sins. He was baptized as identification, what he was going to do 3 years later when he died upon the cross. When John the Baptist put him under the water, he was showing all of those Jewish people, I'm your Messiah, I'm going to die upon the cross. When he was raised out of the water, he said, I'm going to be raised on the third day. And when we're baptized today, it's a testimony that we're looking back to the cross. Our faith is in Jesus Christ. We have eternal life by faith in Christ and not by water baptism. Well, I see our time slipped away. We'd just like for you to find our website, if you will. It's www.heritagebbc.com. We'd like for you to take time and write. Our mailing address is the Heritage Radio Bible Class, Post Office Box 573, Wantagrove, Minnesota. And our zip code is 56180. Until next week at the same time, keep looking up. Jesus is coming.